the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Evening, everyone. Oh, thank you very much. I'm a maths teacher. Please don't hold that against me, though. I wonder if you could help me out. I wonder if you could cast your minds back 12 months and to the end of 2012. And if you remember at the end of 2012, as we looked back on the year, it was probably one of the biggest years for our country. There was the Olympics, there was the Diamond Jubilee, and there was probably a feeling of, how on earth can 2013 follow what's just happened? Well, 2013 had a very good go. See if you remember these events. On Valentine's Day, we woke up to the news that the South African athlete and national hero, Oscar Pistorius, had shot and killed his girlfriend, Reeva Steenkamp. In March, like London buses, there was a new Pope and a new Archbishop of Canterbury. In April, we remembered this lady, Margaret Thatcher, who died. In July, the wait ended when Andy Murray became Wimbledon champion. And I'm so pleased he finished just in time for our evening service as well. Thank you, Andy. In September, David Beckham finally hung up his boots. About time too, if you ask me. And in October, the unknown Edward Snowden dominated the headlines as a whistleblower. And the year has ended in tragedy, horrendous tragedy, as we've thought about the Typhoon Haiyan, which devastated the Philippines, which we had a collection recently at Belmont. 2013 has been quite a year. But there's one story missing from there. Probably the biggest story in terms of media coverage this whole year. It got even more coverage in July than Andy Murray. And this is our fifth reading. In these days, Queen Elizabeth II issued a decree that all royal babies should not be born outside London, and most certainly not on Anglesey. So William went down from Anglesey to London, the town of David Beckham, because his grandmother thought that that would be best. He went there with Catherine, who was expecting a child. While they were in London, in a private hospital and receiving the finest care, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in the finest blankets and placed him in one of the world's most expensive cots, because there was no way he was going to a public ward. And there were photographers and cameramen living out on the street keeping watch each day and night. Suddenly, via a note at the front of Buckingham Palace and probably a tweet from Prince Harry, it was announced. Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy for all people in the UK. Today in the town of London, a future king has been born. He will be George the Seventh. There have been many big stories in 2013, but the one that probably got most headlines was this one, the birth of Prince George. The media coverage, the pomp and circumstance that surrounded the birth were in complete and total contrast to the birth that we have been thinking about this evening. Prince George arrived to a media frenzy. Jesus Christ arrives to virtual silence. If you remember the birth of Prince George, there was the constant speculation about names, about potential godparents. There was this incessant focus on how amazing Kate looked post-childbirth. Whereas Jesus Christ is announced to a bunch of low-paid night workers, the socially marginalised shepherds. These births are two of the most extreme births, but they are both royal births. And the question is, which one is more important? Is it the one that is on the screen there? Or is it the one that we've been thinking about this evening? And the readings that we've taken this evening hopefully will help us understand why that birth there is infinitely more important than the birth that was talked about in July. And we're going to just take a bit of time, just a few minutes tonight, just looking at the passage that Emma beautifully read to us, Luke chapter 2. And we'll read it again in a second. But within this passage, I wonder if you spotted it earlier. Within this passage is the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. But there's also the meaning of Christmas in this passage. They are two different things. See if you can spot it as we read it together. I'm sure you're familiar with the story. Can you spot the meaning? In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town in Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Did you spot the meaning? Most people I speak to think that verses 6 and 7 are the meaning. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born. She gave birth to a firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. That's not the meaning of Christmas. That is the story of Christmas. The gospel writer Luke spends two verses, or a few more, talking about the actual events surrounding the birth. He spends 24 chapters unwrapping the meaning. Did you spot it? It was verse 11. Is the meaning of Christmas. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And I've got a question for you all this evening, and it's this. Do you understand the meaning of Christmas? Has the meaning hit home to you? That's my question to you. And you may think, I've no idea if I understand verse 11 really. Well, the good news is that there's a test or a guide. And it's not just anywhere, it's in the preceding verse. Verse 10 will help us work out if we have truly understood Christmas. Verse 10, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" Christmas is brilliant news for everyone. And if Jesus Christ coming at Christmas is not the greatest thing that you have ever heard, then I would graciously suggest to you that you've misunderstood it. Jesus Christ coming at Christmas has changed everything. What's so good about it? What makes Jesus so much better than George? Three things very quickly. It's good news. It's good news. This baby's no ordinary baby. Luke talks about him as a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He talks about him as a Savior who's Messiah and Master. And at Christmas time, we remember that we live on a visited planet. James Irwin, the astronaut, said these incredible words. "The most significant achievement of our age is not that man stood on the moon, but rather that God in Christ stood on the earth." And why did he come? Well, that verse we've just looked at, verse 11, tells us he came. Jesus came as a Savior. Matthew, in his gospel in chapter 1, the reading that Paul read to us earlier, he reinforces that. Verse chapter 1, verse 21, it says this, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." He will save the people from their sins. Now, when I first read that verse a number of years ago, I thought, that is great, fantastic. Jesus has come, and he's going to sort out all those really nasty people, the murderers, rapists, you name them, all those sort of people. Actually, that's a little bit self-righteous of me. Because when I examine my own life, I'm not perfect. In fact, I'm a long, long way from perfect. I think I assumed that people who lived a fairly good life would eventually one day get thumbs up from God and an entry pass to heaven. But that is not the case. That is a false view of what this passage is talking about sin. Sin is all about rejecting God, whether it's committing murder, whether it's telling a lie, whether it's shutting him out of our lives, whether it's ignoring him. The Bible tells us, and it's not a popular thing, but the Bible tells us, Romans 3:23, that we have all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standards. We've all turned our back on him. We've ignored him. And we've just turned and said, God, thanks for everything. Thanks for creating. Thanks for making everything, but I'll do it my own way. And that rebellion has caused a big problem. It has separated us from God, and that is bad news. But the good news is that Jesus coming at Christmas is the start of a massive rescue operation. A saviour is born. A saviour who came to this earth to live, to die, to rise again, and someone who can forgive our sins. An anonymous poet put it like this: if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainment. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent a saviour. That is good news. It's good news, Christmas, but it's also great joy. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The birth of any baby is good news, isn't it? And particularly if you know the friends and the family, it's great. If you don't know them, it's not so much great news, is it? It's difficult to get the joy out of it. We're thinking about a birth that took place 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world. We don't know the family personally. Where's the great joy in that? Well, the reading again that Paul gave us earlier from Matthew 1, there's another clue from the gospel writer. Matthew 1, 23 says this: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. The God of the universe, who may appear abstract, who may seem distant and enormous, is anything but. Our God loves us and has invaded this planet in the person of Jesus Christ. God became man. He lived among us, experienced all the pain, the suffering, the frustration, and the heartaches that we all go through. That is incredible news. I must confess that every Christmas time I find nativity plays at times difficult. I find nativity is difficult because the carol "Away in a Manger" is sung. Now, hear me out here, it's a lovely tune, but I struggle a little bit with the words at some points. They talk about this. You remember the words from "Away in a Manger"? "The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes." Really? Speaking as a leader of dads and toddlers here, I struggle with that. I just don't think that's true. The truth is, Jesus cried. He needed a nappy change. He needed feeding. He was a vulnerable baby, just like any other baby. He humbled himself, came to this world, and he showed us God's love. And the meaning of Christmas is that God is with us and can help us. And the great joy is knowing that the God of this universe is not someone who is out there. He is here. He knows what we go through. He cares for us. He loves us in all circumstances. Good news. Great joy. And finally, you've probably guessed it, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And this is the clincher: all people. When I was growing up, there was one present I always looked forward to opening more than any other, and it was from a certain relative of mine. I'm not going to say who it is because it gets recorded, this. But every year, it was such a bad gift that it became the best gift in many ways. And I'm someone who loves sports, ball sports, football, rugby, cricket, you name it, like music as well. So for 3 years on the run, I got this from my family: a paperweight, a fishing stool, and an envelope opener. Thanks very much. I await Wednesday to see what comes out this year. I'm sure on Christmas Day you will open something, and at some point you'll smile, but deep down you'll think, "I didn't want that. I didn't need it. Thank you very much." At Christmas time, we all receive things that we don't really want or don't really need. But at Christmas time, God gives us one present that we cannot do without, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus came to be the saviour of the whole world. He is the He has conducted a massive rescue operation and is good news of great joy for everyone. Jesus can help us in the past. Our sins can be forgiven. We can know his help and his presence now, and we can be sure about the future. And that offer is for everyone. That's for rich people, poor people. That's for young people, old people, upper class, middle class, working class, lower class. It's for people from all religious backgrounds, all countries. This is a global message. Jesus Christ is good news of great joy for everyone. And those three things together, you will never, ever, ever hear again and have never, ever heard before Jesus. Those three things don't come together. Here's an example for you. This week I got to see my daughter in a nativity, and it was great. You probably didn't appreciate it, but it was good news for me, but not for everyone. Tomorrow morning, we may well wake up. No, we won't. We won't. But imagine we woke up and David Cameron has slashed all the taxes, and that would be good news, and it'd be great joy, but it wouldn't be for everyone. You don't get these three things together. It's never happened before. It will never happen again. Baby George came in July and he brought good news and he was great joy, but not for everyone. And he certainly isn't a saviour and a rescuer like Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ has changed the course of history. Everything has changed. And the question is this, and I'm going to sit down now, is what is our response to Jesus Christ? What is our response to this person who is good news of great joy for everyone? If you have never, ever grasped the significance of who Jesus is, then my hope and my prayer is that you will realize just how much you need him. He is a saviour. He is God in a body, and he has lived and died and risen again and changes everything. And if you want to know more about that, please at the end come have a chat to myself or Derek or anyone you've seen at the front. We would love to chat to you about Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian here this morning, if you know that Jesus is good news of great joy for everyone, will you do one thing this Christmas? Will you celebrate? Please this Christmas, celebrate. It's so easy, isn't it, at Christmas time to be distracted, to be really busy. The commercial Christmas that we have is just swamping us. But please, celebrate. Jesus Christ has changed everything. Don't let anything rob you of the joy of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. Everything has changed. A saviour has been born. The world is changed forever. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He's the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, who has been the centre of everything tonight. Thank you that he is good news. Thank you that he's a saviour. Thank you that he is the symbol of great joy, that you're with us. And thank you that this isn't just an exclusive offer. Thank you that this is for everyone. Father, help us this year and this Christmas and through into the new year to know that Jesus Christ is born, Jesus Christ lives, and Jesus Christ has changed everything. And we give you all the thanks for him tonight.